Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome back two wonderful directors of music in our community. They are resident conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Daniel Breyer, as well as the director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, Chris Ludva. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Tomorrow is Sounds of the Season. This is the holiday concert presented by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra at Chenery Auditorium, starting at 8 o'clock. And this one feels like a bit of home, a lot of community, and a lot of variety, Daniel. And since I think you're the main organizer, as it were, of music on stage, maybe I'll let you introduce a little bit about what went into this.
Well, we're really excited about this particular program because we get to collaborate once again with the Bach Festival, and we haven't done that in the last maybe 2 or 3 years, so this is really exciting for us to get back together. And this particular program is really wonderful because you get to hear a fantastic masterpiece of music in Bach's Christmas Oratorio, the first part. And then after intermission, you get to just enjoy lots of fun and lighthearted music making with the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus and with the orchestra, and sing-alongs, and maybe a little bit of Duke Ellington in there as well, and some of the Nutcracker. So it's just a really fun program because we get to present a masterpiece as well as have a little bit of fun.
I should ask, who's conducting what? I mean, Chris, are you prepared the chorus? Are you actually directing the Christmas Oratorio? You hand over the reins to Daniel.
So we're really lucky because Maestro Quarti's back in town. And so he's actually going to conduct the program. I'll be on the stage for a little bit, maybe. We'll see. And then right now, unfortunately, Maestro Quarti's unable to join us today because he's overseeing some auditions for the orchestra, another very important part of what we do, continuing to make our orchestra strong. So,
well, I hope you'll forgive me for assuming that it was you, Daniel, because you often do.
Yes, I do these concerts often, yes.
Yes, and not only you do subscription concerts, you've done Family Discovery, and if you're in front of me, I'm assuming you have completely prepared all the music. So, Julian, if you're out there listening, forgive me, and I hope you have a great concert tomorrow. So let's talk about Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Did he plan this for Christmas?
Well, yeah, it's a long,
I mean,
it's
sort
a
of.
Long story.
Yes,
right?
And no. I mean, it's one of these things where he was parodying and using his own material, reusing it, recycling, per se. So he had finished, I think he'd finished both Passions at this point. He'd finished most of his secular cantatas. And then he decided to write this Christmas Oratorio for the 6 days, beginning on Christmas Day, and then the 6 days subsequent, which would take us up to what, like the geese laying, I think,
right.
The sixth day, right? So we're only doing the first movement, as Daniel said, but it's really, yeah, it's a recycle of a lot of his secular material, mm-hmm. In a different setting, and so of course the audiences in Leipzig would have known a lot of these tunes, which is very familiar to them, as much as White Christmas would be to us.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to remember with this is in this time period, parodying one's own music or another composer's music was just par for the course. This is what composers did, and it's always interesting to me because we have this kind of gilded image of Bach and who he is, but he was really just another human being that was struggling to meet deadlines, just like all of us are.
A mere mortal like the rest of us, yes.
But I think what sets this particular piece apart is just how incredibly well written it is, and how spectacular, and it's just really incredible what he does in this music, and you would never know that he was recycling a few other things to meet a deadline.
John Harbison called it it was the German version, if you will, of Messiah, sort of their equivalent, if you will.
May I say I feel some regret that I would love to have been a contemporary audience member on this performance, because I would love to go to a concert where I recognize all the pop tunes of the day, you know, newly arranged and just thrown in throughout a piece of music like that, you know.
It's not dissimilar at all from what, like going to a jazz concert and hearing a jazz standard, and you go, oh, I know mm-hmm. that, you know, and you hear what they're doing with it. And it's just, they're making it into something new and really exciting and quite artistically amazing. So
okay, that's a great analogy. Yeah. The concert begins tomorrow at 8 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium. I already know from speaking to Fred Sang that the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus is also going to appear, and that Chenery Auditorium is fully decked out.
Yes, it is.
For the holidays, and will kind of open the eyes of any young ones who step into the lobby and the concert hall. So very festive.
Yes, very festive. And we did put in a request for Santa to come. I don't know if he's going to actually come, but we did put a request in, so
we'll see.
Bring the kids along and we'll see.
You can find information on tickets at KalamazooSymphony.com, and as well, I'm sure there's a link at KalamazooBachFestival.org to find tickets, and they'll be available at the door too. Could we talk about some of the solo singers who are preparing this piece by Johann Sebastian Bach that begins the concert?
Sure. Kudos to KSO for really embracing the local community, I think, and using those folks. So Julian had asked if we could hear people from the Bach Festival that we felt would be of a solo nature or have that desire. One is Howard Tetchma, who's a Kalamazoo College grad, been in town, sings at First Congregational Church and various places, a lovely tenor. So he'll be playing the evangelist in the performance, and that's interesting. The evangelist is the one that does all of the recitative and essentially the direct text from Luke and Matthew. And then the chorus sort of provides the, you know, the commentary, if you will.
Could you call the evangelist a narrator?
Yes, exactly.
Of the
right.
story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not evangelist in the sense that we would certainly know now, but also not unlike, you know, the Passions. So, and then Sam Macy is a bass baritone. He's actually pursuing a master's degree at Western. So a nice connection there that Julian made. And then Claire Regan is one of our section leaders. She is a Western Michigan grad and lives in Grand Rapids and has been working as a section leader for Bach Festival in the soprano section. So she'll be singing the soprano stuff. So yeah, nice combination of local people with ties that have really kind of cut their teeth in Kalamazoo and continue to contribute to the musical life here.
Now, you mentioned that some people have compared Bach's Christmas Oratorio to Handel's Messiah, but this piece goes along at a good pace. I mean, this is not a two-hour extravaganza at all. I mean, we get a whole lot of story in about 25, 30 minutes.
Correct. And that's because we're doing that first part. And if we decided to do all the parts, it'd take us about 3 hours to get through it.
Oh, really? Like the Ring cycle.
Oh, it is like the Messiah.
Yeah. In fact, Bach, you know, I think there's a lot of questions as to whether or not he would have ever seen or wanted to have this in one concert setting. And aside from the difficulty of preparing all that music for either the KSO or the Bach singers, the logistics of that. But I think he probably had some perception that might occur, whether or not it was in his lifetime or not. And certainly some companies have done it.
But I think the way we're doing it is great because you just get a chance to really absorb a very small amount of music. And so you can really dive in and have a lot of fun listening to it instead of trying to process everything long period.
It's so thick. I mean, it, to take one movement is intellectually about the right, you know, mouthful for any of us to chew on.
So Maestro Querti conducted a program of American great music, Gershwin, the Rhapsodies, was not the Piano Concerto in F. That would be a little too much.
right.
With Kevin Cole. That was the last time he was here. From your experience, Daniel Breyer, what kind of adjustments would he make to conduct Bach and a chorus and bring those elements in?
One of the privileges of working with professionals like I get the chance to do, and Maestro Querti does, is that we are all trained in many different styles over the course of our training, as well as once we get out into the professional world, we have to play more styles than we could ever cover in college or graduate school and all of this. And so when we all get onto the same stage together, there's going to be an adjustment process in terms of like, okay, there's several different ways to do Baroque music. You could go completely the early music route, or you could do a more of a historically informed route, or you could just play it old-fashioned, romantic style. And so really what will end up happening is when we get on the stage for rehearsal, everyone will have their own ideas, and then it's the conductor's job to say, okay, this is how it's going to be. And usually the conductor doesn't even have to say it. You just start working, and you just mm-hmm. start saying, can this be a little less vibrato here, or can you taper this off? And anytime you have this marking, do this. And after about 15 minutes, it's all kind of, everyone knows where we're going to go.
Though so. I don't think anybody would have complained about using, original tuning.
Right.
Just to take that down just a little bit, because it's really high.
Our oboists would complain.
She would. Okay, no, singers. The singers would complain.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Because
it's interesting.
So you're saying that modern tuning is a bit higher than it used to be.
It mm-hmm. is. And especially if you go to Europe, it's even higher than it is here.
Oh, mm-hmm. my.
So some of the orchestras over in Europe tend to tune between A442 to A446. It's very rare to even get A440 over there.
To kind of achieve a more brilliant sound on their instruments?
I mean, I think so. And especially for oboes, the reason I mentioned the oboes earlier is their instruments are very specifically set up to play in modern tuning. And so for them to lower it, it's a very, very difficult task, actually.
Well, we've just taken a little tangent with Daniel Breyer and Chris Ludva. And the way to get back on track is to mention that the concert is at 8:00 tomorrow in Chanterie Auditorium. And we're talking about Sounds of the Season. The concert's first half is Bach's Christmas Oratorio Part 1, which features not only the chorus and orchestra, but three soloists, Claire Regan, Howard Teachma, and Sam Macy. After intermission, there's a jukebox of fabulous holiday favorites coming up. It'll be quite a shuffle play situation, including the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus as well. Why don't we move on to this shuffle play section of the concert?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of just great things that you'll hear and you'll recognize. One of the more interesting ones is talking about a composer parodying some music. Duke Ellington, most people don't know, but Duke Ellington actually at one point created his own version of the Nutcracker Suite. So we'll be playing a few selections from that. So that, I guess, is one bridge from the beginning of the program to the end of the program. Of course, we're so delighted to work with the Children's Chorus. We work with them every single year. This year has been, it's particularly exciting because they're working with us for the Nutcracker last week, and then this week with Sounds of the Season, and then they'll be also working with us with St. Matthew's Passion coming up. So it's really exciting. We love working with the Children's Chorus. And then we also have the KSO Youth Soloist performing on that part of the program. This is, her name is Alyssa, and she won our Youth Soloist competition, which means she gets the chance to play a concerto with the orchestra.
She's a violinist or pianist?
Saxophone. The Glazunov Saxophone Concerto.
Wow.
Which is beautiful.
It's going to be it's always such a great opportunity for these young people. It's like us giving them a Christmas gift. They get a chance to play with a professional orchestra as a soloist. And so we're really excited about that part of the program as well.
Okay. These are young performers. Big opportunity. Lots of butterflies. What happens if someone messes up?
The show always goes on. And, it's what's always amazed me is this is actually the first year since I've been here that I haven't worked with the youth solos because it just fell on Julian's concert. But it always amazes me. They're always so, so well prepared, and they're ready to, they're so excited. And it's just the conductor's job to calm any nerves if you sense that they're there and help them feel comfortable. But we have some wonderful young people in this area of our state. So
her name is Alyssa Waswick, and she is a saxophonist. Would that be alto saxophone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Glazunov is this sort of Russian Tchaikovsky contemporary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His music's not performed as often, but he wrote a fantastic saxophone concerto. He wrote an incredible violin concerto that Yasha Heifetz made quite famous. And he wrote a couple, actually he wrote some choral stuff that sometimes is performed, but not often in this country. But he's a wonderful composer.
Daniel, I have seen you just in random situations where you've walked into a young person's rehearsal, or I've seen you teaching a little bit of string technique to middle schoolers. I know that you rub elbows with a young crowd frequently. And are you also sometimes checking in on the children's chorus, the choral programs as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thankfully, I've been able to develop a good relationship with them. My daughter's also singing in the children's chorus, so we're there all the time. And I actually grew up singing in choirs, so working with the children's chorus is just always so much fun for me.
And must be a fun part of your professional position.
Yes.
With the symphony.
Yes.
It does involve coordinating and making connections with young musicians.
It does, and we take that role seriously as an organization. We're always trying to figure out how can we best serve all of our different communities, and especially with young people and music education, it's a really important part of what we do, and we take it very seriously. In fact, if you stay tuned, in the spring you'll hear about some more opportunities that we're thinking of for next year. We're coming up with some pretty cool ideas. So,
well, a lot of it happens behind the scenes. A lot of it happens in after-school programs, mm-hmm. and not a lot of chances necessarily for the public to see this work on stage. But tomorrow night is one.
Yes, night is one.
That's at 8 o'clock at Chenery Auditorium. And tickets are available now through the Kalamazoo Symphony website, through the Kalamazoo Bach Fest website, and of course at the door. It should be a very exciting concert. What else can we talk about that you're looking forward to?
Well, I think we should also mention that in that this is our first collaboration in a while. Our very next collaboration is just in the spring. So
yes, we were just discussing that before we started, how Daphnis and Chloe is coming up the Ravel this spring.
Yeah.
With the KSO and Bach Festival, and so we'll all be starting in on that quite soon in January.
Daphnis and Chloe is a ballet.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Why did he put voices in there?
I think he wanted that, well, I mean, the tale itself needed that kind of ethereal, otherworldly quality that voices add. And much of what we do in it is, well, all of it really, what we do is wordless. So the voices become another color of the orchestra and just another paint in the palette, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember another mostly wordless collaboration, which was Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
Film, which had a lot of oohs and ahs.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's a little bit of a thankless task for the chorus, because choruses love singing text because you can dive into the meaning of the text and you spend so much time working on the text. And but composers, for whatever reason, have also decided to use choruses as another instrument in the orchestra. Tchaikovsky did it in The Nutcracker. Ravel, you have in a lot of movies, there's a lot of wordless chorus.
Yes,
And it's a different challenge, because then you have to start thinking about what vowel, and then since you only have a vowel, you have to figure out how to color it right and get everyone
right
in the right spot. So it still is a lot
and
of
Julian
fun.
Was very specific with this one. I mean, he gave me the score in September, I think, and he'd already gone in and even taken Ravel's given vowel that we would be on and shaped it. So instead of ooh, here it's O, because he wanted this color and quality. And thank heavens it's just wordless, because in this case, Ravel wrote something that's really, really challenging for the choir as well. And
wow.
So adding text would maybe put them over the edge, but it's a beautiful piece and super dramatic, and it's going to be just gorgeous.
Just a showcase for color and the orchestra and a choir who can nerd out over a single syllable.
Yep. Boy, like nobody else.
Any other reminders for folks planning on attending tomorrow?
Well, I think the most important thing from our perspective is that to come and have a lot of fun. It's the first half of the program. It sounds serious, but Bach's music in this particular case is just so thrilling and so exhilarating to listen to. And we will have the text, the translations above the orchestra and chorus, so that everyone doesn't even have to sit there and try to look in their book in the dark and find what they're singing about. They can just see it in real time. And the second half of the program is just lots of fun. You get a chance to hear some incredible young people, some incredible favorites that, and a chance to sing along with us as well. So, and yes, I did say we invited Santa, so maybe he'll come along.
Maybe. Maybe he'll make an appearance. I'll have my fingers crossed.
Me too.
Chris, last word to you. What does Yowtset and
Yowtset Frohlocket?
Yes, tell us about this.
Essentially, this opening movement, it comes, as we said before, from a secular cantata, which was written for the Queen of Poland. And so, of course, it's appropriate that it would be rejoicing and giving praise to and just all of the excitement. I mean, if you picture what Christmas morning is like for a child to come down the stairs and see all the gifts. And in Leipzig, where they didn't have, you know, iPods and phones and constant music at their fingertips, this would have been just thrilling to hear this music in the way that it was set. So this is all about Christmas joy.
The concert again, for those lucky enough to head out on have time on Friday night for this, it's at Chenery Auditorium at 8 o'clock, and details are at KalamazooSymphony.com or KalamazooBachFestival.org. Chris and Daniel, thank you very much for previewing it here on WMUK.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.